Hello, hello, all my beautiful freaking people. Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. Today, we are going to take you down to Texas, y'all, and explain to you why I never want to travel with a fucking baby again. So sit back, grab a cocktail, and welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God.
Wait, how old was the other girl?
19. Can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
With book?
Have you gotten a chapter 6 yet?
He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram?
And this is FML Talk.
Oh, no, she didn't.
I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah.
I'm still so fucking tired.
Yeah, you can hear it in my voice.
When did we come back from that trip?
In 2 weeks.
I'm so, so tired.
Well, there's a lot of factors.
No, my soul is tired.
Took a couple years off your life, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough. There's so many factors to play into it that you have to kind of set up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take you guys through the trip so
Yeehaw.
You're not scared to travel with the baby, because I'm sure it's not as dramatic as I'm making it sound, but
it isn't. I was right there. I think I was right there on the seat next to you.
Okay.
It wasn't as dramatic, but again.
Okay, so we went to Texas. This was the trip that I was supposed to take with just me and my mom for 48 hours to go to do an in-person podcast for Danny Morrell, which will be coming out in the next few months. And I was going to record an episode. My mom was going to record an episode. And in my brain, I was like, I'll just go in November. Like, I'll be able to leave the baby by then and I'll just pump on the road. What the fuck was I thinking? I was not ready to leave in November. And lo and behold, the week before I was supposed to go on that trip, Tay's back went out. And I was like, well, I'm not leaving my little baby with my husband when he's broken. So we did not go. We rescheduled. And then I was like, oh, maybe I can con Tay into coming with me and bringing the baby so I don't have to leave the baby, and just pitch it as like a, this will be a really good travel test before we go out of the fucking country to Portugal this summer.
Which is like in 2 months.
Yeah. Which is,
yeah.
I'm so tired.
Right. yeah.
So anyways, I conned them into doing that, but it was a really
Yeah. It wasn't that much conning. I mean, it's like going down to Austin.
It was, I know, but
like,
it was smart,
well, you know, I was like, I was, you know, it was fun. And fun fact, the first time my ex-wife and I took my daughter on a trip like this was to Austin, Texas at the same age. That's a fun fact. No,
just watching you stumble through that.
I was thinking if the dates and stuff.
Anyways, so
yeah, you're right. I'm tired.
So let us paint the picture for you. This is my first time, obviously, traveling with a baby. Tay's first time in a very long time traveling with a baby. And Grandma was in tow. Grandma, love you, Mom, is a notoriously anxious flyer, which she would be like, what are you talking about? No, I'm not. But everyone that has traveled with her would agree that. And anyways, we got to the airport early. Everything was really smooth. It was fine. Got on the plane, nursed him during takeoff. Stone was a rock star on the plane, brought the fucking flight attendants thank you cards with like Starbucks gift cards in it, like the whole nine. He did pretty well.
Yeah, that was
there.
A power move, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what TikTok he saw that on, but a fucking power move.
It was a 2-hour and 15-minute flight on the way there. Yep. And he slept for probably like 25 minutes, mm-hmm. took a 25-minute nap in my arms, but like did pretty well on the plane. Like he was pretty
curious when he wasn't sleeping.
Yeah, and wasn't like fussy. Like he was pretty chill. I will say that sitting in coach with you and me and then someone next to us, like, is a lot, because you're like, you feel bad for the other person. You're trying to keep the baby chill. And then like, you can't really stretch out and like make them go sideways unless someone's sitting next to you. It's a whole like Tetris thing. And what?
No.
Oh, you looked at me like you didn't understand that reference.
No, I'm literally blanking out on the flight there or the flight back.
You were sitting in the middle. Yeah. I was sitting in the aisle. I held him pretty much the whole way there because he was just chilling.
Uh-huh.
And then I nursed him on takeoff and takedown. And there was a guy sitting next to you with like headphones.
Oh,
on.
That's right. Right. And then
So we get to Austin, we get to the hotel. The difficult thing is like Stone's on a pretty like regimented nap schedule and he's not super great at napping on the go. Because well, we're he gets in FOMO and he's like, I want to fucking see what we're doing and where are we going? Yeah. And let me be a part of the party. Wonder where he gets that from.
Oh, well, I mean, really, both of us.
Yeah, well.
But don't give me that shit. You got FOMO like the rest of us.
So we end up like getting to the hotel, getting set up. I will say I never want to stay in a hotel again with a baby.
So the traveling, yes. Everybody's thinking when we're talking about traveling, it's flying. It's not. That's when we're traveling to Portugal, we're thinking big on the flying. Yeah. The hotel was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never, that is something I don't think I've ever done.
Really? That's wild. They didn't have Airbnbs back in the day.
Okay. Well, this was 11 years ago and it was in Austin and I pointed out the Airbnb
it was like a condo style.
It was an Embassy Suites thing. So like, yeah.
It was a boutique hotel. It didn't have a ton of room.
It was
to
a fucking
out.
Bad idea.
We were like trying to black out all the fucking lights that were shining when you turned all the lights off and like covering things with sweatshirts and like we put crib in the bathroom. It was a whole fucking thing.
We also have to preface this that we are in the middle or, you know, of sleep training our
Not
child.
Not in the middle. Like he's
towards
he's
the end of
trained.
It. But yeah. Which is, but we have to keep schedule, consistent with that. Otherwise he jumps off and then you kind of have to re-navigate back to that. So I think when you get off schedule, like it really throws him off and we're trying to keep him on the schedule so it sustains.
So we end up going to dinner and I was like in a state. One of the hardest things for me navigating this new chapter of like being out and with the baby is like I can do it and I look like a rock star doing it. But it's not fun for me because, and this is my shit that I've been looking at since this trip, that this trip brought up, which we will get to so wonderfully to smack me in the fucking face, is like, I don't want to pass him off to Tay or to my mom because if he's fussy and like squirmy, then I feel bad and I feel responsible to be like, here, let me help, even though they're totally capable of doing that. And if I mean,
because here's the thing. You have to say like sometimes he just needs his mom.
Yeah, no, but that's not the times I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking the times that he's just like fussy and it's like you know, we're trying to sit somewhere and he's squirming.
Right.
Like, it's like, you know, it is what it is. It's annoying for whoever's gonna be holding him.
Yeah. You take that under your
I feel burdened when I see you or my mom or someone else doing that. And then you're like, dude, I'm fine, like let him be here. But then I see you getting frustrated. So then I want to swoop in and fix the situation. Anyways, so it's been difficult for me to be like, okay, let's just go. And like, if he can't nap, he can't nap. If he's fussy, if he's like, let's just go. And like, I will have a good time. Yeah. I always end up getting too stressed. And then I'm like, let's just fucking, I love having people over here at our house.
I think that in time
I think it's already starting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll be able to.
Like last night, we walked to a cute little sushi restaurant. He stayed in his stroller. We like fed him different stuff at the table. Like,
oh, I'm going to say something that I didn't know.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay.
I think that might be a trauma trigger for you from how your dad was really adamant on you not being all loud and disrespectful at restaurants. He was always really big on that. Maybe
I don't think I would call that a trauma trigger. But yeah, my mom talks all the time about how when I was little, they would take me to like nice restaurants and stuff. And she would always keep me busy and like have stuff for me to do. But if I started getting fussy, my dad was like, no, like you got to take her outside to like go chill and play and stuff, which I agree with. Like it's like if you're going to take a baby to a nice fucking restaurant.
Yeah, no.
Like there's people there on dates. There's people there doing stuff. Like if they get fussy, like take them outside and go for a walk. But anyways, this has been like even at my mom's house, like it's just been hard for me to drop in and like enjoy myself while tending to all the baby stuff. And that really was apparent at that first dinner. And you ended up taking him on a walk. He fell asleep in the stroller, which totally fucked us in the ass later, but it was needed to happen. He was like so fucking tired. And you came back, he slept for like 20 minutes. We all ate our entrees and we ended up having like a really nice time. So we go home, we get him to bed later than normal. The sleep train plan was like, put him to bed at 9 p.m., let him wake up at 9 a.m. because then you just like, you're only there for a couple days. You're keeping him on L.A. time. Like, don't try and time change him. He woke up at like 6 a.m. every morning and was like, fuck you, fat chance. Like, let's party. There was no 9 a.m. in the system. But so we ended up getting him to bed that first night. I didn't really sleep that well because he's in like a fucking travel crib. I'm like, his mattress is different. Like, can he breathe? Is he on his face? Right. Like, is he even still in there? Like, if I was just, it was just like a weird, this was the first time we were in an environment that wasn't our,
and again,
our nice
hotel,
little home.
Yeah. And again, hotel's a bad idea.
For fucking 7 months.
Yeah. He was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He basically, we moved. Yeah.
It was just a whole thing. I wish I could say I am a superwoman and on top of all that I do, cook every night, but that is simply not the case. Our time is so freaking limited now with the baby and my bonus daughter, and Factor Meals has been an absolute lifesaver for Tay and I. You get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can focus on the more important stuff you've got going on in your life. No prep, no mess, no cleanup, without sacrificing the flavor and the variety of eating at a restaurant. You can customize your meals weekly and get as much or as little as you need, as well as pause or reschedule deliveries to suit whatever your lifestyle is. Seriously, you guys, Factor meals are delicious. I talk about them all the time, and they have truly taken so much stress out of our lives. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you ask Tay if he could only eat one thing for the rest of his life, the answer would be cereal. Full disclosure, I was first influenced by Miss Morgan Ouellette to try Magic Spoon cereal. So when I found out I was going to get to offer you guys a deal on it, I was so excited because it is so freaking good. Magic Spoon has zero sugar, so we can not only have it for breakfast, but late night snacks. And it's perfect for the kiddos to get them a healthy meal without the sugar crash. I love their variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per serving. Made with wholesome ingredients and no artificial flavors or dyes. Big yay. It is high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. Tay and my bonus daughter are cereal connoisseurs, and they are in love with Magic Spoon and cannot believe it's packed with as much goodness as it is. Go to grab a variety pack and try it today. I promise you guys will not be disappointed. And be sure to use our promo code at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/FMLTalk and use the code FMLTalk to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. The next day, we have this big interview. This is what we like went to Austin for. I wake up with a headache. And I'm like, this sucks. I have a headache. Tay's like, well, let me take him down. I'll go like grab coffee and stuff and whatever. That headache slowly turns to, I think I'm going to vomit. And so I puked and I was like, okay, I got to rally, get my fucking makeup on. And the plan was Tay was going to stay with the baby and hang. My mom and I were going to go to the interview, each do our respective interviews and episodes. And then we would come back and like go out and see Austin and like go about our day.
And just let me interlude here. She sometimes gets headaches. And they, you know, sometimes they turn into a migraine. She pukes. She lays down for like an hour and it all goes away. And, you know, or like you thought, you might have been hungover from the one glass of wine, which was what I said when you said, I think I'm hungover. I'm like, you had one glass of wine.
Yeah. Well, so this, what I was feeling was very much in line with how I used to get violently hungover. But like, there's just no way from one glass of red wine that I was as sick as I ended up being. Yeah. Mind you, like I have like a glass and a half of wine, like probably three times a night at home. Not since
three
this.
Times a night.
I'm sorry. Three times a week. Three times a week at
just
home.
Just about a fucking bottle of wine a night. So no big deal. I'm parenting great.
But I don't drink a lot anymore. Anyways, so I get my makeup on. I'm really not feeling good. I say goodbye to Tay. My mom and I call an Uber. An SUV Tesla pulls up. We get in the Uber. I'm just like trying to take deep breaths, holding it together for this 45-minute car ride that we are now taking to this interview. We got off the freeway and I feel it. That fucking horrible feeling of like, you're going to puke and it's going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. It's like the rumbling that's now coming up through your chest. It's the worst fucking feeling ever. And so I tell our very nice Uber driver who doesn't speak super great English, can you please pull over? And he was like, what? And I was like, can you please pull over? And my mom like very dramatically, like, she's going to throw up. Can you please pull over? Didn't pull over in time. So I rolled the Tesla window down. Thank God the button worked because like doors on that fucking thing are like you're inside a goddamn spaceship.
We would have still been in dealing with that.
I launched my head out of the Tesla window and projectile vomited onto the street.
Onto the street or freeway? This was a freeway?
No, this was a street.
Oh God, that would have been beautiful.
He then understood what was happening. And pulled into a parking lot where I then figured out how to open the door and puked two more times the parking lot. Missing the Tesla the entire time. There was no puke on the car. I was very proud of that.
Meanwhile, Stone and I were starting our first walk through Austin. We were checking out the Capitol.
And so then we end up going to the interview. I'm like trying to pretend that I'm totally fine and not dying. And I go in, I somehow pull it together, I do the interview. You guys listen to it when it comes out. Let me know if you can tell that I'm like on my fucking deathbed on the inside. I finish, my mom goes in to shoot her interview. I go into their backyard and I like laid on their sun chair, like, and just like laid in the sun for what, however long she was recording for.
And at this point, Stone is down for his first nap.
No. Incorrect.
Well, I was with
Stone
him.
Was napping when we left in the Tesla.
Oh, back? Oh, no, when you went there.
On our way there.
Oh, yeah. So no, I'm sorry. His second nap.
No. So, no. This is where Tay fucked up. I was like, I was too sick when I was like, when's his next nap? And he was like, 1 p.m.
This is when I fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, when's his next nap? And he was like, 1 p.m. And I was too sick to count and be like, you're wrong. You're an hour early.
Listen, guys, when you have somebody in full control over everything and they go down, it's just madness.
The whole ship goes
the
down.
The whole ship
in
is like
a fiery fucking
all of
blaze.
A sudden, like just everything went dark for a couple.
So I'm with my mom. It's probably like a whole, like a 4-hour excursion from when we left the hotel to when we got there, shot the interviews and got back. I'm texting with Tay in the car on the way home while I'm laying on my mother's lap in the fucking Uber back. And this is after throwing up a myriad of times. And we're on our way back and I'm texting Tay and I'm like, what's going on with the baby? And he's like, well, I tried to put him down. He was screaming. He wasn't having it. He like wouldn't go to sleep. So now we're up. I put him in the carrier and we're walking around Austin. And I was like, wait, what? Like, why wouldn't he have gone to sleep? And I look at the clock and I'm like,
I'm an hour early.
You were an hour early. Of course he wasn't going to go to sleep. He was fucking tired.
Yeah.
So then he's out walking around Austin and he's like, oh, fuck. And now he's falling asleep in the carrier. Shit. He's going to sleep and I'm 20 minutes away from the hotel. So he fell asleep in the
way
carrier.
Way to go, Dad.
He fell asleep in the carrier, took a short cat nap, which like he probably needed a much longer one, but it was what it was. And so we're texting in the car and he's like, okay, where are you? I was like, I'm 15 minutes away. I have to throw up. I'll come and throw up and then I'll come get him to breastfeed him. We end up walking in. Stone sees me and he's like, no, I'm going to mom, bitch. Like,
yep.
He like squirms into my arms. And he's doing this thing lately where like he uses his legs to like crawl away from
when
your
chest. Sitting, yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to paint the picture better than that. But like he starts like running on your chest to like basically be like, put me down so I can walk like away, even though I'm not walking. Yeah. So I was in a crop top and pants, and his jagged ass talon of a fucking toenail. I mean, I swear to God, it was like the fucking raptor from Jurassic Park. He fucking sliced my stomach open. It looked like it was bleeding. I was like, cool, awesome. Okay. So we get in the fucking elevator. I go upstairs. I hand him to my mom. I puke in the toilet. I wash my hands. I come back. I breastfeed him. And then you ate your lunch that you had just ordered, came upstairs. And basically what happened was like, I could not mom that day.
No, you were 100% incapable.
It was scary. And other than what would I have done if you weren't there?
Honestly, well, yeah, you'd kind of, you would have been fucked.
Well, no, I mean, I would have figured it out, and he would have been sitting on the bathroom floor with me while I was puking. But like,
I mean, you survive. You were in a point of like, if it gets to the point, you got to survive. And other than that hour thing, Stone and I were like, we had such a good day. We had lunch. I had a beer at the lobby waiting for you guys. Like, it was fun. We really enjoyed it. And then
we really enjoyed it.
We did. He was partying.
So then I try and lay down for like an hour. He hangs out with my mom. I'm still not feeling good. Tay comes back up.
No, you're like, it's not feeling good. You're sick.
And I was like, I feel like I'm hungover. And Tay was like, you're not fucking, this is not from a glass of wine. You've projectile vomited multiple times. Your head hurts. Like, this is, whatever this is not that.
Yeah. And now at that point, I started, I was like, oh shit. Because now there's a virus.
Right. So then you were like, look, you stay here and try and kick whatever this is out. I'm going to take your mom and Stone to dinner. You want to take it from there?
Yeah. So then we go. And oddly enough, we get out to the street because there was no planning involved whatsoever. We didn't know this was going to happen, but we needed to eat. And Gabrielle was done. So we're standing there and I'm like, okay, what kind of food do you want? She's like, let's get seafood. So I just go to the first seafood place and it happens to be this 5-star white tablecloth restaurant that I didn't even look in research. I just saw that it was like good on Yelp. And I was like, okay, we're going. We walk in and it's sure as what you can think, like candlelight. Everything is like moody and white tablecloth and the waiters are all like dressed in suits. And it was crazy. So we just went for it. We got him the mashed potatoes. He ate the whole thing with a espresso spoon. Everything was great. Your mom and I had a wonderful conversation that I was really needing to have. And we were obviously concerned about you, but I kind of knew at that point you had something. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I didn't think it was food poisoning either. Mm-mm. I thought there was something else. Mm-hmm. But nobody else was showing any signs.
So
then we get home.
They end up coming home and I'm like, still not okay. And Tay was like, look, I think you should go to your mom's room, sleep for the night. I will put Stone down and like do bedtime and it'll be fine. And of course, I'm like, okay, but like we don't have a monitor. And like, what if you don't wake up and he's crying, which sounds ridiculous, but
well,
many nights we are in bed and I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Here we go. Does Tay not hear the screaming?
Here we go.
Yeah, how can he sleep through that?
I can explain that. Because the way I can explain that is because, bless your heart, you've given me that permission. So when I go to bed and I say night night, it's like I'm turning it off.
Right.
If you tell me, look, I need you tonight, or like in Austin, I don't turn it off.
Right.
I didn't turn it off for a long time with Junie.
I'm so jealous of that talent. And can you teach me how to do
that? Yeah, I don't know what it is.
There's times where my mom's like, well, why don't you make Tay get up and do tonight? And I'm like, because if we're in the same fucking house and I hear him crying, I'm not going to be like, let me just roll over and snuggle in and go to sleep. He's got this. Like, it's just not.
No, I mean, it does get to, listen, guys, and I really want to say this. It does get to that whole difference between mom and dad. Yes, there are a lot of dads like me that are hands-on. There are some dads that are not hands-on at all. I am very hands-on, but there's a big difference between the mom and the dad. And sometimes boobs are involved. But really, if we were fully on bottle formula,
right,
it could be a totally different ballgame.
Right.
Then we totally split the time. You're either having to pump or you're having to breastfeed.
But for me mentally, like I just wouldn't be able to be like, he's got it. But what we do.
Ouch.
No, not because of you. Because of like my maternal instinct.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we've talked about how we rectify that. Like, you take the 2.5 hour morning shift and I usually go back to sleep. But anyways, we digress.
And so, he's still alive.
So we decide to do that. I go to my mom's room. I puke one more massive time. She's like, my mom's like, I think we should call the hotel doctor to come do a hotel visit. I'm like, Mom, this isn't the fucking 50s. Like, what? I don't think that's a thing.
And
I'm not going to go sit at urgent care for fucking however long in fucking Austin. I'm going to go to sleep. So I curl up into the fetal position. I get a really shitty night's sleep, which is devastating as a mom when you're like, oh my God, I get to sleep in a hotel room and not worry about my baby. And then you still sleep like fucking dickhole. Mm-hmm. It sucked.
Dickhole. I've never heard that term. Well,
it's worse than asshole.
Okay.
That's what I was going for. And I wake up the next morning, still not feeling super fantastic. Go in, breastfeed him, because of course he arose at like fucking 4:30 and Tay was just like, God damn it, child, and like put Miss Rachel on just to see like how long we could like hold him off before needing me.
Yeah, that's when I sent you those pictures of him watching Miss Rachel. I want to say, and I'll let you go, but I did get up like 3 times because there was no monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Full stop.
Okay. As you should have. So I go in and breastfeed him, and then we eventually put him down for his first nap. I laid down with, like, at the same time he napped. And then when I woke up from that after taking Excedrin, I was on the other side of it and I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
We then went out, had like a nice day, walked around Austin, like, you know, we salvaged the rest of the trip and we flew home and it was, what am I forgetting?
A day something? And a half early.
Well, oh yeah. Changed our flight and came home early.
We have a fucking day and a half early.
Yeah.
Because look, the hotel, that was a deal breaker.
Yeah.
If we were in like an Airbnb, I would have been like, why would you guys want to leave early? We're here.
Right.
Like, I get it. It's hard traveling. We do not have our cushy stuff and this monitor and that thing. But like, yeah, when your mom was suggested that we went home early, I immediately was like, no. But then I thought about it and was like, no, it is a pain in the ass there in that hotel.
I was so done after being that sick. I was so tired. And whenever he would like cry and get fussy, which like he was more fussy than normal in the hotel, like when we were trying to change his diapers and stuff, like he was just not stoked. It was like our neighbors
a little more
are
different.
This.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, it was a little more different fussy than normal.
Okay. So we come home. You did fine on the flight. We come home.
Yeah. Wait. You know, the flights there and back were both great.
Yeah. But they were also
short. Yes, but like,
and on the way back, by the grace of God, there was no one sitting next to us, so you and me and him had 3 seats,
right,
which was a game changer.
It's not gonna happen. Not likely to happen today. But anyways,
okay, so we come home, and then we come home like the day before Easter, and that night I was like, I feel like I'm getting like stuffed up. And so on Easter morning I go to urgent care. They're like, yeah, you have a sinus infection. I'm like, okay, cool. So they give me antibiotics that are safe to take while you're breastfeeding, and was like, okay, great. Not great.
Not great.
Got to like 4 or 5 days later, Stone has a fever. He's not feeling good. He's not stoked. Take him to the pediatrician. They're like, they test for like a panel of all these things. And she calls me. She's like, yeah, you're right. Like he's got paraflu, which is like a virus that's like a common cold, but like a shittier version of it. And that's apparently what we all ended up
having. Me having it some 2 weeks later.
The same 24 hour that I had in Texas. Only, I love you, Tay is a man. So it was just
violence.
I mean, he was dying.
It was so
just dying.
So bad, guys. Yes, that's true. And
no,
we can talk about
when
it
when you throw up, the fucking exorcist enters our house and it is like
Yeah, I don't know what happened. And I couldn't even keep my head up for 24 hours.
You, like,
I was
did not get
so
out of bed.
Sick.
So I
had 2 auditions. I had a a colonoscopy scheduled for the next day.
Yeah,
like all of it canceled, everything.
So I got up that morning, loaded Stone into the car, took Junie to school, dropped her off, had to like go show our North Hollywood property on the way home to try and get it rented. Like with the baby.
Basically
the whole time.
Do my life, throw the baby in the mix while I laid curdled.
The grace that we have had each time when like we all had COVID and during this was that like everybody came down with it at different times.
Yeah,
so
universe,
at least there was
you.
One parent that could like fucking get up
deal
and
with
figure
shit.
It out. But poor Stone has, he's still trying to, it's still working its way through. He at least didn't have the vomiting, although there was one projectile vomit moment.
Yeah, in his crib.
Shook me to my core and
but he
my
was
life.
Also a lot, very spit uppy. For leading up to that vomit, like
yeah,
where I was like,
was
this
like
doesn't seem right. This doesn't
gnarly.
Seem like his normal little boob milk spit up. Like
yeah.
he's been spitting up.
Yeah.
And there was the 2 days leading up to that big vomit. And also his body's the first time dealing with something like
right.
this. So he's not able to process. And plus, honestly, it's better that he has it. And he just like
yeah,
lets
like
his body
his system,
build it
blah,
and
blah,
like
blah,
keep
but, like,
it.
It sucks
the runny
when...
nose is a pain in our ass and a pain in his ass. And he can't breathe and he can't eat because he can't breathe. But it's all good. It's all good. It's all
not,
building.
None of it's good, but it's okay.
It's all building his immunities. And I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Look.
Junie got it. We all got it. It's been a
yeah,
whole.
Yeah, the whole house.
Yeah. Which brings us to how we started this episode. I'm so tired.
yeah. Well, just coming out of that. Look, yeah.
It was a brutal 2 weeks. And now every day I'm psyching myself up, pretending that the next trip is just going to be fine, which is a road trip to San Francisco and Santa Cruz for my friend's wedding and to see your friends and family.
And then Europe.
And then Portugal.
But
and I'm just
I don't,
praying. I'm just praying.
But I also don't think it was the travel
no, I
per
think,
se. I think it was the bad decision on the hotel that ruined it all.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, we could do a hotel for a night if
we
had to.
Well, we are going
to
be, we're doing hotels in Europe.
Yeah, if we have to, we can do it, but it's not enjoyable at all.
But here is the plan. We are going to suck it up and not do a travel to crib and just take the pack and play and get him used to that on the next San Francisco Santa Cruz trip.
Yep.
We got that fucking slumber pod thing that like is
fucking
a little tent that goes around it and blacks it out.
Let's black it out.
And then he can take that to Portugal and like at least he'll have the same sleeping situation in every place
yep.
that we move to. So just say a prayer for us. And that's
yeah.
that's where
and,
we're at.
You know, let's go back to like, look, dude, we got to do these trips. So he's got to join us.
We did it. We
he'll
made, the,
figure
be-
it
we
out.
Made the best
he'll figure
out of
it. Out.
We made it through.
He'll figure it out. And even when we don't make it through, if we don't get sick. He'll still figure it
I
out.
I know. But I legitimately came home from that trip and was like, I never want to leave my house again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
Like, let me turn in my passport. I'm fine.
That's it?
Yeah. We're done.
I might hold you to those words.
No, I mean, but like, it was, that was how difficult the trip was for me. And I don't think it would have been that difficult if I wouldn't have gotten so violently fucking sick for.
Well, and now,
hours.
And in looking back, I honestly, when I was that sick, I was thinking about you.
Yeah.
Out of that Tesla and just.
And the fact that I went and sat and did an hour fucking interview and nobody knew that I was dying on the inside.
Yeah. No, there was a small window where I could have potentially done something
fuck
like that.
Off. You could not even sit on the couch.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We are going to jump into some of your listener questions. Here we go. Even though you felt something missing, do you feel chemistry was always present? Or does chemistry waver also? I mean, I'm in a healthy relationship. I find myself comparing my partner to my deceased fiance, whom I always had chemistry with. But the relationship was tough because he was a recovering addict. Now I struggle feeling anything with anyone, and my current partner is healthy and kind of amazing, but I'm feeling like there's not enough chemistry.
Wow. I'd like to say first, sorry for your loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. And that's going to probably, you know, there's a lot of unpacking to do there. My answer would be just to look at you and at you and I, how we've kind of gone not in and out of chemistry. I've always felt chemistry, but in and out of intimacy,
mm-hmm.
if you will. You know, there's times where it's just like not happening or you're feeling weird or I'm feeling weird or whatever. And sometimes that time is a little bit longer than normal. Mm-hmm. I think that's totally okay as long as everybody's communicating properly and it's mutual.
Yeah.
So let's just start with that. I think like we have to define chemistry a little bit.
Right. I would add to that and say that if you're feeling like something is missing in your relationship, that can be a big indication of something that you need to go do some more work on and heal. For me, when I kept saying, oh, something's missing, it was because I had a very toxic definition of love for my previous relationships. And I needed to do a lot more work on myself before I could feel whole and therefore feel whole in a relationship. So I would say to start looking inward to see if there's more work to do before you're ready to be in a relationship or so that you can grow in that relationship.
Yeah, I also like to piggyback on that. And maybe the fact that you're still, what was the term she used? Visualizing her ex?
No, comparing.
Comparing. I mean, there's something there. I think that there might be some more processing of the loss there.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. Okay, what are some non-monetary ways you support each other? Well, I mean, for me, the amount you do around the house, you are the one that's cooking dinner most of the nights while I'm doing the bedtime routine with Stone. You also do his shower time a lot. And the fact that you get up with him and do like the morning shifts so that I can go back to sleep if I hadn't slept enough, like that's all huge to me.
It's funny because mine's going to revolve around sleep too. Honestly, just you being the mom that you are, it makes my life very pleasurable. That's the most general way of saying it. I'll give you an example. Those nights, we were talking about it in the episode, those nights that, you know, yeah, I could get up and do it, even if he was on formula or, you know, but you're still getting up. And when you've realized, when you made that realization that you're going to get up no matter what, and you look to me, you're like, look, just stay asleep. Mm-hmm. That was a big switch.
Right.
And that was a huge thing that allowed me to sleep.
Yeah.
And then allowed me to get up in the morning and have those shifts. And now it kind of started to work out very well in that regard. So kind of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like just really on emotional levels where like it's, you know, being there for the person on, you know, like in their love languages. So like, what do you need today? What can I do to support you? Like most of the things I feel in a relationship is non-monetary.
Yeah, and just always checking in. I mean, it's not easy. And we have a great easy baby.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Anybody going through parenthood at those first year is, it's not easy no matter what. So constantly checking in, constantly, you know, trying to help in any way.
Yeah. Favorite trip the two of you have gone on together?
Oh, wow.
I mean, mine would be the Italy trip, like the Europe trip that we took right before.
I don't think it has to be that, but like we've had some good Hawaii.
That's true. We have some good Hawaii trips.
Some. Yeah, it's got to be Italy and more even specifically Sorrento, but that's more of the town.
Yeah.
Just that whole Italy trip was so special.
I often say like, thank God we did that when we did.
That was it.
It was a good one to go on out with
because
with
I would have proposed. I would have proposed. We would have eventually, and we would have eventually gotten the ball rolling and had the baby. But if we didn't get that trip in,
yeah, I mean, we'll do a lot more epic trips, but they're gonna look a lot different now.
Yeah,
you know. Okay, what do you like the most about the other since adding your son to the family?
Oh, that's easy for me. I've already answered it like 17 times.
What?
The fact you being a mom watching.
Oh, I thought you were going to say my boobs. What?
I mean, this is, I
you're not a boob guy. That's why we're married.
Right. We're supposed to be honest. No, just seeing you change. That's been the most rewarding thing. I said it to you at the very beginning when we were well into the back and forth stage of, like, you know, the ridiculous misadventures, that, you know, you, no matter what, if you choose him, if you choose me, if you choose neither of us, you go out with some other guy and find him. I would love to stay in your life to see you be a mom. And I fucking knew it. You were going to change like that. And you did. And for the better. Not that you were not a great person before, but, like, something, motherhood brought a certain power out in you that I wasn't aware of.
That's very sweet, babe. Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say my favorite thing is the fact that we have not lost our laughter and our outlook. Like, the way that you continuously make me laugh, even when shit is, like, difficult or tough, the way that we can have fun together and laugh together, and, like, how you bring that out in me, in all of us when we're all together, like, the way that you make Stone laugh, like, all of that is really one of my favorite things.
I really realized that.
And in Austin specifically, you really, like, oh my God, hello, Gabrielle, like, big fucking, like, message of the episode. God, I was almost about to be like, bye guys, okay, it's great. So that first night at dinner, my mom looked at me and was like, when you took him on a walk, and she was like, you need to release control. Like, this is all about control for you in regards to the baby. And lo and behold, the next day I was fucking knocked on my ass for 24 hours and couldn't be a mom. And the universe was like, sit down, bitch. Like, Tay's got this, and you need to understand that. And as bad as I felt for you being, like, alone with the baby all day and, like, having to, like, do all the things and, like, whatever, even though you kept trying to tell me, like, no, we had a good time, it's fine, I don't, like, everything is fine, I still felt so guilty and so bad. It made me sit back and forced me to realize that, like, I can take a back seat sometimes and everything will be fine. Totally. And that was a huge lesson for me.
Yeah.
I would have loved to learn it without puking out the side of a Tesla, right, but learn the lesson I did.
Can you, by any chance, next time that happens, save it for when you are on the freeway and puke out on the freeway?
I Why? Think because it would have, like, shot back I onto another car?
Yeah,
you're so
it just
weird.
Would have been so dramatic and heavy and, like,
oh my God,
chicken chunks flying.
Okay,
everywhere.
And on that note, we love you guys.
Love you guys.
See you next week. All right, FMLers, if you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or the podcast page at FML Talk Podcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatprayfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.